welcome back to Spoilers, your weekly movie review podcast where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. I am your host, Hollywood, joined by my two regulars, Adam and Maestro. Say hello, guys.
Yo.
Hello.
And you're listening to this show on the Rat Pat Podcast Network. If you like this show, check out Random Acts of Tangent, the flagship show, Tyrant Thinks, with Rex and his debauchery on that show.
Right, with Orpheus Black leading the ship.
Yes. And
that show.
Other shows on the podcast network, check those out. If you want to make recommendations to the show, you can email us at spoilers@ratpackpodcast.com.
That's correct.
You can throw anything you want at us, movie recommendations, analysis on episodes we've done,
complaints about our opinions.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you have those, I mean, I don't know why you would. We're very middle of the road with our opinions here.
Today, we're watching Chuck Norris. We are entering the Chuck Norris realm.
Mm-mm.
We're going to try to keep the Chuck Norris jokes to a minimum here, guys. Let's try to keep that as low as possible. I'm sure we've heard them all.
Yeah, like that one where he says, like, they say underneath his beard there's not a chin but another fist.
Right.
That's okay. One.
All right.
I'm keeping a counter. That's
You're going to keep a count? All right.
We're watching The Delta Force. Not Delta Force. The Delta Force.
Oh.
This movie came out in 1986 and it was directed by Menahem Golan, starring the Chuck Norris, the Lee Marvin, the Joey Bishop, the Robert Forster. That's a pretty good cast.
Yeah, Joey Bishop, man, one of the Rat Packers.
Yeah. One of the original Rat Packers. He's the one that most often gets forgotten.
Yeah. Well,
him and the other guy.
He wasn't always there. He's kind of Peter Lawford are kind of the
Lawford, yeah.
Fourth/fifth members that kind of come in from time to time.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah.
Let me throw you the brief synopsis. I couldn't find one.
Oh.
Because every source I used, there was no synopsis. They just gave me three paragraphs.
Well, the reason was because there was none in the movie. There was nothing
okay.
Note. All right. Well, we'll get to that.
Here's the synopsis. Here's the synopsis I found. The Delta Force, a crack anti-terrorist commando group, is called upon to rescue hostages who have been captured by a terrorist group while aboard a commercial jet. I did not see this movie, so this is a special blind episode.
Ah, look at you, man.
The guys will be telling me about this movie, and I'll be giving them my honest feedback. I'll be interrupting, like, wait, why would they do that? Huh? Yeah. Who shot who?
Oh,
stuff like that.
First of all, I'm jealous. Because I wish I did not see this movie.
Okay.
I would like this to be a blind one just to save me the time.
Okay. I think I had to keep you up, like, from falling asleep.
I did those off, I think, maybe two or three times.
Yeah, I had to, like, hit you in the face. Like
as much as I tried to stay awake, because I was waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like with They Live, where the whole movie you're just kind of sitting there like, all right, something happened.
Yeah.
Eventually something happened in that one. And I didn't have a turn off point because enough didn't not happen. There was enough not happening.
You want to try again?
Yeah.
I have a turn off.
There wasn't enough bad things happening to make you want to turn it off. In this one, there was. I had a turn off moment, which was, I think, maybe 10 minutes in.
Oh, my God. I was about to say over under 10 minutes for your turn off point.
Probably right around the 10 minute mark.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, my God, this is bad. So bad.
Yeah. I mean, I literally had to, like, hey, you awake? Come on. Wake up.
Well, first of all, this is 86. So this is pre 9/11. So there's a lot of things that are kind of like, that would never happen now.
Won't fly now. No.
There's a lot of nervous people that were just like outwardly nervous. They would be like, hey, check that guy for something. He's freaking out. He's sweating a lot. And he looks suspicious. I know that's racist, but in this movie, it's perfect because there's like a whole crew of a bunch of like white people. And then there's these, I guess, Lebanese guys that are just fidgety and sweaty and kind of like, they're going to catch me. And then, of course, they're the terrorists. Yes.
Do they look?
Yes.
Middle Eastern?
One guy looks like Burt Reynolds with a tan.
Yeah.
The main guy is like, he looks like he could be white, just really dark. It was very, because I just kept seeing Burt Reynolds the whole time I'm looking at him. Like, this is
especially
so weird.
The very beginning with wearing the sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got that crazy beard and everything. Not beard, mustache. Yeah, it starts off in an airport, and you start trying to get some sort of tie to the people on the plane. Like, oh, this is a couple that they're so old and they're so cute.
They're building character development.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
to make us feel sorry for them they get held hostage. I got you.
And then one of the terrorists can't even get on the plane. I guess there was supposed to be three people to get on the plane.
Uh-huh.
One guy doesn't get on the plane, and he starts freaking out in line again, which would have got him pulled out into a back room with some gloves and cavity searches.
We didn't see that in the movie.
That would have happened. That's what I'm saying. That level of freaking
out. In post-9/11.
Yes, that level of freaking out should have been a huge red flag. Because he's got the long, crazy hair, and he's just like, look it up again, I'm on this plane. And he's like, starts shoving people around, like, what? The TSA would have probably killed him on the spot in this day and age.
Yeah.
But it was too much. It was way too much.
You know, Robert Williams has a funny joke about airlines before 9/11.
Okay.
So he would be like, security, it was insane before 9/11. Be like, oh, what is that? Oh, it's a knife. Okay, get on the plane. Come on, get on the plane.
Yeah. Seinfeld is one of those too, where they're going through the x-ray machines. What is that, a bowling ball candle? That's cool. Bring it on.
Oh, is that a blow dryer with a scope? Yeah, okay, that's fine. Come on, people. We got a line here.
Move along. Yeah.
So was it like that in this movie?
It felt that way.
Okay.
Because the way they get weapons on the plane is some maintenance guy just walks on the plane and starts doing something in the bathroom, walks out sweating profusely, and the flight attendant is like, everything all right? Like, oh, we had a water leak. I fixed it. No big deal. And he talks perfect English,
yeah,
and he talks calm, but he's sweating. Like his outward appearance does not match his tone. If he was that nervous and there's a water pipe, something, oh God. That's how he should have sounded based on how he looked. Just beads of sweat coming down.
And again, if this was now.
Yeah.
Check that guy.
Yeah. Flight attendant. Oh, where'd this maintenance guy come from? There's nothing in the logs here about a maintenance guy being on the plane.
We have logs? No.
Yeah.
I did notice, I thought when I first saw that he was sweating profusely, I thought it was just because he was just like hot and it was warm. I mean, everyone else looked like they were dressing up for, they're going to the beach or something like that.
Okay.
So I thought that's the case. I thought it wasn't.
Where are they taking off from? They're taking off from New York? Is that?
No, I don't think it was New York. I think it was,
I don't know where they're taking off from.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know, but there was the old Jewish
couple. It was Greece.
They were taking off Greece?
Yeah, they're taking off from Greece.
I thought it was America.
American Airlines going back to America, yeah.
Oh.
So Greece to America.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. But it was like the old Jewish couples with the Hawaiian shirts and everything. Like they were flying right into Boca Raton type of thing. It's a Seinfeld reference. All right.
Yeah.
I had never seen that.
That's where the parents are from, Morty and I think Elaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're on the plane and there's a bunch of people there. There's a kid that's kind of – the kid's suspicious of these guys. The kid looks over and he sees the two like Lebanese guys in the back. They're being suspicious and he's looking at them weird. Everybody else is fine.
Yeah.
That nobody suspects anything except for this kid.
Yeah. He's the manager of the TSA.
And oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. He's going to grow up to be manager.
Oh, he's going to grow up when 9/11 happens. Oh. Like, I knew it.
Right? I saw this coming. Yeah, so the Burt Reynolds gets up to go to the bathroom, and he gets the gun and stuff, and they got grenades as well.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, and they come, they sit down, and they're just sitting there with a gun.
They have grenades on the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were suicidal.
Oh, okay.
They're not afraid to die type of thing. Okay. They have a mission, but they're also ready to die.
Yeah, like, but
they're ready to fail the mission, I guess. This is what – good God. So they come out of the bathroom. They're sitting there with the guns in their laps, and the kid sees it, and he's like, oh, my God. I think the kid says shit, which is like, oh. That's cool. he tells his parents, and then they get up and they start taking over the plane. And these passengers, they're like not freaking out as much as they probably should. Like, and this is something that really bugged me. As he's walking down the aisle with the guns, he gets approached by like I think three different people walking up to him. What are you doing? What are you doing? He's taking over the goddamn plane. He just said this is a hijack. What are you doing? Why? What are you doing? And like they're walking towards him. He's got a gun.
They're all the stewardesses.
Yeah, and then there was some other random dude. And I think he punches out a chick or something.
No, he punched out a dude.
He punched out a dude.
Yeah,
one of the dudes that said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
All right. He announced it four times. I'm hijacking the plane. What are you doing? What are you doing? Three different people were asking that question, coming up to him.
Is this within 10 minutes?
No.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. It was pretty quick that they took over the plane.
Oh my God! At this point, were you like? I'm getting into a world of shit right here, dude. Like,
this is, it's just.
Were you just like, is this going to get worse?
Well, it came pretty quickly, so we thought it was going to be like, you know, they're going to be doing something and then another movie, another part.
Okay.
But it never came.
Everything, a lot.
So is that pacing issues?
Yes. And the turnoff moment was right around here where the terrorists are taking over the plane and they're getting everybody out of first class, getting to the back in the coach. And a little girl runs to first class because she left her teddy bear or her doll or something. Uh-huh. And she's running through and the terrorist's like, oh, stop, what are you doing? He's like, my doll! And the terrorist's like, oh, is this your doll? I have a daughter at home too, you know? And the gives her the doll.
Yeah, it was like complete, okay, like 180.
Like, this guy's a terrorist. You can't have compassion for people you're trying to kill.
Remember the part where he was actually talking to the pregnant lady? At first, she's like, be quiet. And then later, I was like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Come sit over here. We'll sit you down. Lay down. Are you okay? You need some water?
I'm ready to blow you up, but yeah, I just want to make sure you're
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's like sterilizing before you put that death needle in. What's the point? Yeah. I'm going to kill all these people, but.
I don't want to get you that last minute infection.
Right. Good God. And then there was a couple scenes of that where the terrorists were showing compassion, too much compassion.
Yeah.
And it just, And there was a couple moments where there was the three Marines on the board also, like, hey, there's two of them and there's 100 of us, let's take them out. But nobody does anything.
Wait, there's
about
two Marines?
Three.
There's three Marines on board.
Are they ex-Marines?
No. No, they're on vacation. Yeah, they're on vacation, I guess. They're not in their uniforms.
Wait.
They're wearing Hawaii shirts, that's all I know.
Are you kidding me?
No.
These movies usually, they send Marines in there. But there's already Marines in the plane?
Yeah, but they're passengers. They're civilians at this point. They're not dressed in their fatigues or anything. Okay. They're just there.
Well, I'm sure they know something to, they could throw something to bludgeon them or something.
Nothing. They were very impotent Marines. they should have done something more.
Okay.
There was one guy that was like, let's do it. The other two were kind of like, hold on. He's got guns. He's got grenades or something. And it was very weird because I feel like those guys should have been the ones to take action.
Yeah.
But, no, there was nothing. Nobody really wanted to take action. The toughest person on that plane was that German stewardess.
Yeah.
There was a German stewardess.
A woman?
Yeah, a woman.
And come on, it's fine. I mean,
Germans are like bred to be fucking badass, dude.
Right.
Well, she had like all these, she was very like strong-willed of a person, even though she was made to do certain things she didn't want to do.
Uh-huh.
But she made a lot of things very clear to the hijackers? You want to call them hijackers?
She was the Holly Gennaro of this movie.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a Bruce Willis Die Hard one. Where Holly Gennaro's kind of like taking control and talking to a Hans Gruber about, oh, hey, we need couches, we need bathroom breaks, we need pizza, that kind of thing. Where she's she played that role in this movie.
Okay. Adam, do you talk to like a poster child of like Bruce Willis with you whenever
I don't talk to it, Ken. I just put candles and offer it fruit.
I think it was more like lines of like some sort of like a scotch or something instead, wouldn't it be?
No.
Fruit?
No, I drink the scotch.
All right.
Yeah. So are they're in the air, right?
Yes.
When they're taking hostage?
Right. Okay. And the way they get into the cockpit is, well, first of all, there's a lot of commotion already happening. Uh-huh. Everyone's running around. And then the Burt Reynolds gets the German stewardess and tells her, open the cockpit door. So she comes up. She's like, knock, knock. Excuse me. Can you let me in? It's me, the stewardess. And it's like, all right.
They don't have cameras.
I guess. But there was a huge commotion already. And now I'm calm. It's fine. No big deal. Can you let me in? And then the guy goes, boom, he starts pounding on it. Let me in the goddamn cockpit.
Like, doesn't she say like, don't do it. Don't do it kind of stuff before or after?
No. It went from rowdy to calm back to rowdy again. And a lot of parts in this movie, it just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it was like they went like hot, cold, warm,
right,
warm,
right.
Warm, hot, cold.
Yeah, the pilots heard the commotion and then maybe we'll trick them by getting the stewardess to say, hey, it's totally fine out here.
Yeah.
Somebody fell down the stairs.
And they don't say anything. They're like, can you imagine? They're like, hello, can you let the door in? No one's home.
You know what I've always wondered during these hostage on a plane movies?
Yep.
Why doesn't the pilot just turn the wheel as hard left as he can to throw everyone off?
Right.
And then I might hurt a few people, but I'll save everyone in the long run.
Yeah. Well,
have you ever seen when those planes take off, how the wings just kind of like wobble left and right? Do you think they could handle that?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's something. In Flight, Denzel had the plane upside down.
Right. I mean, that's a documentary.
Oh?
Isn't it?
I don't think so, sir. I do not think so.
Isn't it based on that Sully Sullenberger?
Based.
I feel like that's part of it, isn't it?
Well, you know.
Or is it a whole fiction movie? I don't know.
If you think about it this way, the movie production for a based on real events
that's
movie.
That's true.
Doesn't really.
As long as one thing's true. That's what my old boss, my internship told me. He said, as long as one thing's true, we can say based on a true story.
Right. Like that was
one thing is true.
That one shitty Dwayne Johnson one. Pain and Gain or No Pain, No Gain.
Oh, yeah.
That's also based on a true story, but a lot of it was like the whole part with the toe was like that never happened.
Yeah.
I guess. Did we do that movie? I feel like we should do that movie.
We haven't done
Dwayne Johnson. I haven't seen it. Yet. I would want to.
Oh, my God.
I would want to check
it
out.
Okay. It's interesting, but.
Okay.
I do like a lot of Dwayne Johnson's movies, like The Mysterious Island. That was a pretty good one. I like that one.
Oh, no.
I saw
The Babysitter, like The Pacifier, also with Vin Diesel.
He did that?
He was a tooth fairy. That's what he was.
Oh, yeah. Tooth fairy.
Oh. He's a good actor. It hurts me to see him do that kind of role.
Yeah. Wait, Dwayne Johnson or Vin Diesel? Oh, okay.
We're already planning the next one. Right. Oh, fuck this movie.
No. I should just rap. No.
So where does Norris come into play?
That's right. No, the first scene was the Delta Force. I forgot about that whole thing. Because they were somewhere, there was a night mission, and the helicopter exploded, and
they had to get out.
Somebody was left in the helicopter, and like, we gotta leave, we gotta take off now, we gotta get out of here. And Chuck Norris is like, no, I'm gonna get my friend, or whatever. Okay. And he runs into the plane, And the reason they didn't go into the plane, they said because the flames are too hot or something.
Something like he's gone. It's too late.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And then he just like walks in and is like, he's laying there. Like, he's very easily accessible. Well, yeah. I don't know why he couldn't have been dragged out by anybody else.
Exactly. It's like, we shouldn't have done this mission. It's like.
Yeah. So Chuck Norris goes in and, he pulls his friend out. And at that moment, he pretty much retires. He tells his boss, this is my, once we get home, I'm out.
Yeah. I'm resigning.
Yeah. And at this point, he only has the mustache.
Yeah. Which is weird.
It was very weird to see him without a beard.
Oh, okay.
It's just the mustache, a very thick mustache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which puts that whole idea about the fist thing on the side of the chin, puts it to complete shame.
All right, very good.
But I hear that Chuck Norris doesn't sleep. He waits.
All right. That's two. All right. So, so he retires, and then it goes on to the terrorist takeover. And once they get in the plane, it's officially taken over. He goes into the cockpit. He finally gets in and he tells the pilot, we're change of course. We're going to Beirut or wherever.
Yeah.
And, the guy said, don't try any tricks. I know how to fly the plane. This is Burt Reynolds talking the pilot now. And he's like, okay. And then the pilot reaches over and presses a button on the console that is labeled emergency.
Right in front of him?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, it's clear as day to see. It says emergency on there. And he's like, it's something I have to do. It's part of the tradition. Or part of the, what do you call it?
Part of the process.
Yeah, part procedure. Of the procedure. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. And then, all right, as you were.
Yeah, pretty much. That's it.
And at this point, I guess there's that button notifies the tower. Mm-hmm. Terrorists have taken over the plane.
Yeah.
Exactly. Terrorists. Not problems. It says terrorist takeover. Yeah. I guess. That was the terrorist takeover button.
Yeah. There's another button on the switches.
Oh, right
that
next
say,
to it?
Yeah. It says like the lavatories are full and we can't use it anymore.
Right. Out of steak dinners.
Yeah.
All right. That's the next emergency. Yeah. So it gets wired back and it gets to all the people it needs to get to. And all right, let's pull the Delta Force back together again. And that's very, I don't know if this is what it actually is, but it gave me the impression that this Delta Force is all just hanging out doing their regular jobs. And then somebody says, hey, Delta Force assemble. And they all come from all different sides of the world to be on the Delta Force again.
Like the Avengers?
Yeah, kind of like the Expendables, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Where these guys are just, they're not in constant training. They're not the SEAL teams where they're, like, their whole life is to take stuff down.
It's like, one's a bouncer, one's like a chef.
Yeah, there's like from all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, Chuck Norris is like a dude on a dude ranch or something.
Okay. Yeah, he's eating like a tuna salad.
Yeah, he's sitting there, he's in a bar, he's got a scrubby beard, and he gets a call, and I feel like there's that dilemma, should I go back? I don't know, I said I wouldn't go back, or whatever. And then he ends up going back, he shows up, and it just, if this is an elite squad to take down a terrorist threat, I feel like they should be training around the clock. At one point in the movie, they're training before they do this. They're like, all right, we got to practice, guys. Let's get these cobwebs off of our guns. Wait a
minute. So they get called in. Hey, there's a terrorist situation.
Yeah.
Then they train. Then they send them out.
Right.
This is not the first time they do it. They do it like multiple times in the movie. They train again and again and again.
And this is the...
The Delta Force. Delta Force. Right.
Okay.
Right. I have never heard of such a thing where if you're in some sort of armed services, you need to be training.
Yeah.
That's your life, is it not?
Yeah. Like in Predator, those guys, even though they're not technically part of the military.
Right.
They all work together. They all train together.
Even the National Reserve, aren't they doing some sort of training?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not just hanging out at home waiting for a call. These aren't Minutemen. It's not the Civil War, goddammit.
I thought the Minutemen were the ones that actually took a minute to like fire.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were just regular people. They
were trained.
Okay. Fine. Oh, even they were trained then. All right. These guys aren't trading.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's horrible Delta Force. I want SEAL Team 6. I want Delta Force.
Well, maybe Delta Force is the last resort. Because they don't want to like, expend anyone else.
No, Delta Force is, there's a cat locked in a bus. Go, let's call these guys in. All right. Come on. All right. Terrorist hijacking. Let's get the Marines in here. Come on. SEAL Team 6. Let's go. Come on.
It'll be done a lot quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. And better than Chuck Norris. Why is he such a big deal?
I've never understood that.
I don't understand why he's this god.
I honestly think it started off as a joke, like, hey, fucking Chuck Norris, yeah. And then it just grew as like an internet sensation.
Oh, okay.
I honestly think that's what it is. Cause he's not a good actor.
I mean.
No.
And his movies aren't good.
No.
I mean, the first time I actually saw Chuck Norris was he was playing in a film with Bruce Lee. And they were fighting.
Yeah, that's the movie that made him famous.
The Return of the Dragon, was it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was looking at Chuck Norris movies for this. I wanted to do a Chuck Norris movie, and I know this was, like, supposed to be a big deal.
Yo, it's because it was, like, a really cool fight, but...
No, I'm talking about Delta Force.
Oh.
I thought this was supposed to be, like, Chuck Norris...
His Die Hard?
Yes, I thought this was going to be his Die Hard. No. This was horrible.
Okay.
So where are we? Everyone's nervous. The good God. Yeah, obviously emergency button. All right, the passengers also, because they went from panicky to just kind of like dicky. They didn't have a stable emotions throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
Where they were sometimes scared, sometimes being assholes to the terrorists. And just, there was no consistency as far as that goes. And then also, let's see, one of the couples, I guess, I don't know a lot about history and a lot about things over in that area of the world, but I guess the Lebanese, and then, the Hebrews, not so friendly with
each other. I'm guessing Lebanese or Arab?
Yeah.
Or Muslim of some kind?
Yes, yeah, okay. They're Muslim.
Okay.
Right. And one of the old couples that we grew to love at the airport, because they're so in love after 75 years, one of them was wearing like a Hebrew ring, and she panicked, like, we got to get rid of this ring. So she takes that ring off, her husband gives her another ring to replace it, and then puts it in her purse, leaves it in first class, and then as everyone's exiting first class, one of the terrorists is like, hey, there's a purse there, let me check it out. Dumps it over, hey, a Hebrew ring.
There's a Jew in here.
There's a Jew here, yes. So, tells the German stewardess, round up the Jews.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Not joking.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And she's like, I can't do this. I'm German. You understand? I'm German. I can't do this. She says this.
Is that an actual line?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And they're like, why? What's the big deal? Like, Nazis? I mean, come on. But she ends up getting all the passports from everybody and calling out the names that I guess sounded Jewish, which I feel like is racist. But whatever.
Yeah. She actually fights against his footlock for a long time by that too.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so they get the Jews in the first class along with the Marines now because they've been discovered because they didn't have passports. They had, I guess, their Marine cards.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're now in first class along with the Jews because these are the, I guess, the threats. These are our prime hostages, I guess, is what we're doing. And they're flying into Beirut now. And the tower, they're like, no, you can't land here. We don't want you to. They're like, all right, we don't like terrorists. But then the Marines, or not the Marines, but the army, the militia, I guess, of Beirut come in and they're like, hey, that's my friend up there. Let me talk to him.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very confused.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was very confused because he's like, let me get on. Hey. And they call him brother. Like, hey, brother, this is not the mission. This is not what the mission's supposed to be. I'm like, I'm doing my own mission now. I'm like, all right, well, good luck.
Yeah, yeah.
It was because I don't know who's on whose side at this point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I have no idea what the point of this is. All I know is it's a hijacking.
Okay.
I don't think it's ever described in good enough detail to me.
Uh-huh.
Why this is all happening.
I don't even know what they did after they got the hostages off.
I don't know. I think they're going to kill him at some point.
I, that's what I thought too. This is, you're going to die. You're going to die, but like days go by and nothing happens.
Yeah, they land in Beirut. They get the Jews and the Marines get off. They get put in a prison in Beirut. And then they get back on the plane and they head somewhere else. They're going off again.
Wait a minute. So,
yep.
So they take five people off the plane, stick them in a prison in Beirut.
Yeah.
And the guy just said, no, we don't want them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they bolt.
Yeah. But they take on more terrorists, though.
Okay.
So now there's 12 of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, two. Now it's a total 14.
And they fly off again.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is getting ridiculous.
Yes. Absolutely ridiculous.
And as this time, the Delta Force is hanging out. Yeah, the Delta Force is on a plane, just going like, flying and like, oh, things have changed. All right. So we go back down. They're not no longer in Beirut. Let's train more. So they train more.
Yeah, training montage.
Wait.
Yeah.
They land to retrain?
Yes.
Yeah, well, because they're going to try to take over the plane while it lands in Beirut.
Okay.
And they're all sitting there waiting. No.
Yes.
This is the second time.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
They take off. They land. They're like, all right, they change directions. All right, guys, let's do some more training. They find an empty airplane, and they're training inside an empty airplane. All right.
Okay.
All right, we took out all the terrorists in 10 seconds or 20 seconds. Let's do it in 10 seconds, guys. Keep training. Again, why? I don't know. I guess that their plane's faster because they have time to train.
So the Lebanese government just let these guys in and say,
hang
out.
I don't know. I don't know who's on whose team here.
Okay.
There was no obvious sides at all.
Yeah. So the plane takes off and now there's a rabbi or, no, he's not a rabbi.
Greek.
Is it Greek?
Orthodox.
Yes.
Yes.
Something?
Okay. Yes. But it's like a Catholic church.
Okay.
Because he goes into the confessional booth and he flips over the radio that he has hidden in there.
Uh-huh.
I guess he's a spy. So he gives intel back to us, I assume, to the Americans. I'm like, hey, the plane took off again. There's a couple of Jews and Marines in a camp over here.
Yeah.
And then back about his business. And then the plane goes off. Chuck Norris lands there and then he starts talking to the priest that whatever. The priest gets found out. They kill him. There's a horrible chase scene in the middle of Beirut where they're driving and nobody can hit anything.
It's like they're all stormtroopers.
Yeah, they're like within close range at some point, and nothing.
Nope,
nobody gets shot. The windows get a lot of shot.
Yeah, maybe some of the doors a little
bit
too.
That's it.
Yeah.
No. There's nothing was good about this movie.
Okay.
And then the music. There's the same goddamn music the entire movie. Anytime there was an action scene, it was supposed to be uplifting and like patriotic, uh-huh. I guess.
Okay.
But it fell flat to me. It was very the same kind of tune over and over, uh-huh. and over again. Every time some sort of action scene happened.
Uh-huh.
Here's the music. It's like, all right, here's the cue for action, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad. It was bad. All right. Then there's another scene. Finally, they land again. And they're gonna let the passengers off, the women and children off, as a sign of good faith.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Again, I don't know why. I don't know what they're negotiating for at this point.
Are they negotiating with any government?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you remember any negotiations?
They did that, but like a lot later. A lot later.
Who's
gonna
pick up the wife, the women and children?
Yeah. I guess one of the other guys is also a terrorist said, hey, let these kids go. All right.
More compassion.
Yeah, more compassion.
Okay.
All right. See, I don't know what the mission is. I don't know what they're pissed off because I think a bunch of Marines killed the Lebanese at a certain something that happened previously.
Okay. I don't even know if that was even part of the story.
Yeah, no, because the guy was really pissed at the Marines on the plane and he was beating him up. He's like, you killed my family or something, or your people killed my family.
I have no idea.
I don't understand anybody's motivation to do anything in this entire mm-hmm. movie. It's not spelled out enough. So the plane lands, the women and children come off. And they're like, all right, we're going to storm the plane.
It's just two guys. No worries.
Yeah, two guys. No worries. Everyone get on. We're going to proceed. And they got all the Delta Force hanging out there. We're about to jump on the plane. And then they find the German girl mm-hmm. and they talk to her. And they're like, hey, turns out there's 12 guys in there. Oh, my God. Call off the mission. They're already in radio silence at this point. Everybody turned off the radios already for whatever reason.
Okay.
We'll go in 60 seconds. All right. Cut communications. All right. Boom. 12 terrorists. This guy hops on a Jeep. Turns on the siren and starts rushing the plane to, I guess, warn his people not to attack because there's like a good 100 people out there. The Delta Force is like at least 100 people.
Yeah.
And they're thinking 100 people versus two. We got that. Mm-hmm. All right. 100 people versus 12. Call the whole thing off. No, we can't handle 12. We only train for two. We need to train more. We need to do more training in the field for 12 men. No.
So they true. Do more training.
It hurts because it's so true.
Yeah, they stopped the whole thing. There's a big shootout on the thing because I guess sirens coming up towards a plane full of terrorists. The terrorists didn't like that, uh-huh. so they kill one of the Marines, throw him out the plane, and they start firing at all the other people. I guess now they realize, hey, there's a bunch of people out there. There's the Delta Force. We'll have to fire.
Yeah, there's like four or five cars just hanging around the.
So there's 100 Delta Force
at least. I mean, maybe 60.
Oh shit!
It's like G.I. Joe.
Oh, fuck. I thought, like, the Delta Force was, like, the Expendables, where there's, like, seven guys.
No.
No, it's more like 70.
So Norris is leading 100 guys?
Yeah, he's the commander who has been retired for, I don't know, like, 10 years by this point. I don't know.
And they bring him back.
And then they're like, all right, cool.
He comes back on his own.
Yeah. They didn't call him.
Yeah. In the middle of, in the middle of his dinner, he goes like, you know what? I ain't having this. I'm just going to go. So he just takes off and goes and meets this place that I guess that they told him about. I'm not sure.
No. One of the other guys, I mean, I guess they called everybody in the Delta Force saying, come on, we got a mission.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't call Chuck Norris. One of the other guys calls Chuck Norris on the team, like, hey, we got this thing. If you want to tag along, I mean, we're doing this mission. I don't know if you're interested.
Cause you owe me $50.
Yeah. Might as well have. So they get him in and they're doing all the training and stuff. And then, oh my God, it's just so bad.
You ever have those dreams where it just keeps on going and on for no apparent reason? And you don't really see an outcome at the end. You just wake up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie was like. The entire movie was like that.
Eventually, the plane lands, and they take off again. They land. They get to their home base. They have this fortress, this terrorist fortress. Mm-hmm. The same one where the Marines and the Jews are being kept. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to storm this place. And they go in crazy with motorcycles with rockets on them
mm-hmm.
that shoot out of the front of the tires or something. It's like a rocket, two rocket launchers attached to the front of the motorcycle.
And back.
And the back. yes, right. He fires backwards for
so these guys are fully loaded?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. No. This is the Delta Force.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Delta Force has rocket propelled grenades on their bikes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And at one point, the whole way it starts, and this is so stupid, the terrorists are trying to get back into Lebanon, I think. They're about to cross a border. And then Chuck Norris is sitting there on a bike, like on top of a hill, like in the middle of the road. And they're like, everybody stops. Why'd you guys stop? Look at that guy. There's a guy over there. You stop for one guy, then he fires a rocket, explodes, and they all panic and run. Again, there's like maybe 50 to 60 terrorists in a caravan here.
And one Chuck Norris.
One Chuck Norris on a bike. We didn't sign up for this. No. Turn around, try to get out of there, then Chuck Norris starts chasing them, then the cavalry shows up.
Yeah, it's like these ratios make no sense whatsoever.
No. They could have taken the two terrorists out at the beginning.
Yeah.
With 100 people on the plane.
Yeah.
80 Delta Force could have taken out 12 terrorists on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But the terrorists see one guy and they freak out.
You know, kind of think about it. I don't think that the Delta Force did anything without Chuck Norris. I think it was all Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Yeah. So technically, it was just Chuck Norris versus the terrorists.
Right. Or they probably provided covering fire. I don't know.
Yeah, they were all stormtroopers.
It was oh so bad. Oh so bad. This is worse than They Live to me. This is worse than They Live.
Wow.
And
that's bad.
Yeah, because They Live had at least a weird story. This felt like no story.
It was at least interesting. Or it was an interesting take on, like, consumerism. Like, yes. Oh, okay.
It's like, all right. It felt like propaganda to me, the whole movie.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And this was just a dull story about a fucking war, about a terrorist takeover. It was dull.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you do that?
Well, it was just Chuck Norris versus the terrorists, so, you know. So, it does say something about Chuck Norris, though, because he, like, took on a whole terrorist cell, you know. Yeah? No? Yeah?
Well, I guess. When I heard that this was going to be an elite team that overthrows terrorists on a plane, I was thinking of Executive Decision. Did you ever see that? With Kurt Russell and Steven Seagal?
Kurt Russell.
No? Well, in that one, terrorists take over a plane. What they do in that one is, it's Kurt Russell, John Leguizamo, Steven Seagal. Ooh. The
Leguizamo.
Yeah.
What?
The black guy from Terminator 2, the one who, with the bomb.
Oh, he's freaking out?
Yeah. Henry from Eureka.
Yeah, that guy. Okay. And then two other guys. I forgot their names. Anyway, they fly him up on a plane with a tube that connects into the commercial plane, and they go in through there and then take him out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was expecting to hear something like that.
No.
No.
They waited till the plane was on the ground to do something about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they stormed the fortress of terrorism.
Of Cobra Commander?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, kind of think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This sounds very G.I. Joe-esque. You just described the G.I. Joe episode to me.
Is that right? Yeah.
A fortress.
It could have been.
Rockets on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like that, I can picture
had
a G.I. Joe.
Had this been a 20-minute show?
Okay.
Episode?
Perfect.
Probably would have been great.
Oh, okay.
You spread this out over to however long it was.
Like 90 minutes.
All right. I thought I would have said five hours.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
It felt like 5 hours.
It felt like 5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Is there more to the story?
That's about it. They attack the fortress, and then the terrorist backup comes to defend the fortress after it's been taken down.
Uh-huh.
There's more. The music comes up again, the crazy, stupid music. And
yeah. So as soon as the fortress is destroyed and mm-hmm. everything's gone all crazy, ape shit, Chuck Norris goes to take out the group that has all the Hebrew or
mm-hmm. yeah
yeah he goes to take those people out. They're holding them hostage,
right?
And it's on some sort of weird what do you call it? I don't even know, some sort of traveling route. I don't even know. It's weird. Why would they even travel? Does it make sense?
I don't know. Why were they being kept in the first place?
I have no idea.
There's nothing happening.
Yeah,
there's things happening, but there's no point to anything.
Exactly.
They don't explain why or anything. Are they trying to use these as leverage to get money to Beirut? Are they trying to free Lebanon? Are they trying to discontinue the sale of Jewish rings, the Hebrew rings? I don't know. I don't know. So, and the guy at the beginning of the movie that Chuck Norris saves out of the burning helicopter,
uh-huh.
he gets shot.
He dies.
He dies.
That's it.
Yeah. And
he's the only one that dies.
I'm
the whole
sure.
Delta Force. He's the only one that dies.
Yeah, all the terrorists die, and I feel like he's the only guy that died.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they take it really hard. The Delta Force guys, they take it real hard. In fact, the whole movie ends with a huge downer. Like, yeah, we got the terrorists, but our friend died.
Credits.
And then they walk off slowly, like depressed. And then
then credits?
Yeah.
That's how it ends?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they're just all depressed that they lost one man, but they took in the whole terrorist organization, and they're like...
Did they rescue the hostages?
Yeah.
The Jews?
Everybody's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Big reuniting thing.
Everyone's dancing, having a good time.
Yeah.
And this is in Beirut?
No, this is back in, I think, Greece? No.
I don't know. No, Beirut is where the whole thing...
That's where their fortress is,
yeah,
right?
I'm pretty sure.
Would it make sense?
See, it would make sense, but again, if it makes sense, it probably is not what happened.
Okay.
Because nothing else made sense in this goddamn movie.
It's pretty bad.
Does our military have access? Are we allowed to storm another country to rescue?
I don't know.
They give us approval.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. We did get the approval of the Lebanese.
Thank God for that.
All right, Captain Delta Force.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So I want to go back to that scene.
What scene?
Which scene?
There's like 60
terrorists.
It was all
one giant, long, boring scene.
There was 60 terrorists, and they were scared of one Chuck Norris?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's because Chuck Norris got Uno while playing Texas Hold'em.
Oh,
that's
geez.
Three.
There's
number three.
That's a joke. Look at you guys.
You want to go for a fourth?
No.
You probably know one, right? Say one. Come on.
No.
Just substitute Chuck Norris with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Well, say it then.
Every night, the boogeyman checks under his bed for Bruce Willis.
Does that make you feel a little bit better?
Yeah.
No, all right.
Yeah.
That make you feel better?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I actually joined your stupid jokes
that I heard 10 years ago. That's four. Okay, let me ask you this. Could John McClane have survived this, or could he have successfully been in this movie?
I feel like he could replace him because he had just as much training. Okay. I guess Bruce Willis is not, he's not trained. The only movie I think he was actually trained in was the Tears of the Sun, where he was like the commander, the general dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Jackal, he's pretty good there too.
Yeah, he was an assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trained.
I guess. All right.
But like military tactics, it was Tears of the Sun.
Tears of the Sun was, yeah, military. Everything else is, oh, Hearts War.
Fifth Element?
He was a commander in Hearts War.
Oh, yeah.
Fifth Element?
He was a cabbie.
Taxi driver, dude.
No. He was a...
Oh, he was a retired army guy.
Okay. All right. So Corbin Dallas could have came in and took over for Chuck Norris.
Yeah. Could Corbin Dallas beat John McClane in a fight?
Ooh. But, okay.
Ooh.
No future weapon. Throw him in a pit. Go at it.
Yeah. I think Corbin Dallas would win.
Okay.
Why is that?
He's badass, dude.
Well, so is John McClane.
Yeah, but he's accidentally badass. he's a badass.
Okay,
because he's forced to be.
John
he's
McClane, lucky. Die Hard 4 and 5, where he's no longer just a street cop.
Yeah, he's like, a superhero.
He's a superhero versus Corbin Dallas.
All right, I think John McClane in Russia could have taken out Corbin Dallas.
Okay.
As he flips off the plane.
Helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter. That's like one of the greatest scenes in that whole movie.
Yes.
But it's like the whole thing's about to end, and they trick a helicopter into flying into a building, I think is how it worked.
Yeah.
And they jump out of the building, and as they're falling, John McClane flips them off. It's like, oh, that's just cute.
Were there any one-liners in the Delta Force movie?
There was something that Chuck Norris said, something like, that's your last something. He kills a guy
last
like
last straw.
Yeah, something
stupid.
Like that.
Okay.
I feel like it's like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. And that's pretty much all that he ever says.
Okay.
And the whole time when the whole movie is just kind of brooding. He's just like staring off angry for like.
No. That's how he looks normally.
Yeah. But that was every emotion. It's like they say Keanu Reeves has like no emotions. We have a picture of him like, this is him happy. This is him sad. They're all the same exact picture.
Yeah.
But then surprise is just add woe. Yeah. The same kind of thing. Chuck Norris had no emotions the entire time.
Well, he did like show strife when he was actually helping the guy out of the helicopter.
Yeah, he strained a little bit as he lifted up the helicopter.
I got to see both his upper and lower teeth. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
he's got perfect teeth, that man.
That was weird. Yeah.
He smiled at one point. I was like, wow, those are all perfectly aligned. You didn't notice that?
You ever consider being a dentist, Adam?
No.
Do you want to hear something interesting about this movie real quick before we...
Is there something interesting about this movie?
Well, I don't know if it's interesting, but the two guys who wrote this, one was named James Brunner.
Okay.
He wrote An Eye for an Eye, Missing in Action, Invasion USA, Sword of Heaven, The Delta Force, Behind Enemy Lines, Delta Force 2, Braddock Mission in Action 3, Missing in Action 3.
Okay.
Those are all Chuck Norris movies. It looks like this guy is his personal writer.
Okay. This is Tim Burton to Johnny Depp?
Sort of, but he's a writer.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other person who wrote this was Menahem Golan. This person wrote, you know,
that sounds familiar.
A couple other things. Apparently, this person's a big time producer. This person produced Bloodsport.
Ooh.
Over the Top.
Oh.
What else did they do?
That's enough.
This person do. Yeah.
We get the vibe.
Yeah. That's it. After 2002, this person stopped directing. So actually, I don't know if this person is a man or a woman. That's why I'm not giving this person a masculine or feminine pronoun.
Look at you, man.
Fair enough.
Professional.
any closing thoughts on this?
Don't watch it. Don't. Chuck Norris is ruined. It's done for me. This was supposed to be his thing.
I think this might have been confused with Missing in Action.
Okay.
Because there's three Missing in Actions for what I saw for Chuck Norris's IMDb. I think that's supposed to be his Die Hard.
Is it? Because Delta Force, I've always...
Really?
That's always stuck in my mind.
I always hear of Missing in Action as his big thing.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, you're not going to watch it, so it doesn't matter.
No.
Okay.
But he had one karate kick, I think, in the whole movie.
Yeah. And it wasn't even that, like... It was okay.
It was just like a regular kick.
No, it was...
Was it Roundhouse?
It was his Roundhouse, yeah. He was famous for that.
I was expecting something. I mean, He could have been replaced with anybody. There's nothing about him in this movie that was like, oh, that's Chuck Norris doing Chuck Norris, man. No, that's an action guy doing action-y things.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the time he was actually on the motorcycle the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was so bad.
I mean, he just stares at you with that same face like this. Like he's like brooding but about to do something but he's not sure what to do just yet. That kind of face. And then he just throws like a rocket launcher at the car. Yeah. That's about it.
I feel like that the very last fight scene, the whole – taking the fortress out.
In the house.
It could have been what they were parodying in America, in Team America, the very first scene.
Oh, you know what? You're right. It does make sense.
It feels
now.
Like that could be like what they were trying to make fun of, and they nailed it. Because it was just so over the top.
Huh?
All right.
That was our opinion on the movie. Like I said at the top of the show, we have lots of them, but we don't have any credentials. Now we're going to hear from people who actually have credentials. On RottenTomatoes.com, this is where I get the good reviews and the bad reviews.
Okay.
There are only 3 reviews for this movie.
Okay.
1 good, 2 bad. So which one would you like to hear first?
You know, I'm actually surprised that there's a good one. I want to hear that one.
You want to hear that first?
Yeah, all right.
1 good review. Chuck O'Leary of FullViewDriveIn.com. I'm guessing it's a blog of some kind. Works equally well as a tense, powerful hostage drama and a rousing action film. The Delta Force gets my vote as Chuck Norris's best.
Wow.
Oh my God. If this is his best.
According to one blogger.
There should
Adam.
Why so many jokes? Why so many Chuck Norris jokes?
One blogger.
All right. Screw that guy.
Bad reviews. Scott Weinberg of efilmcritic.com. I'm guessing another blog.
All right.
Half disaster, half action, low budget cheese that's still fairly entertaining in spots. That doesn't sound bad.
What? Say it again?
No.
What?
Half disaster, half action, low budget cheese that's still fairly entertaining in spots.
Oh, see, I was fine up until the entertaining part. Okay. Low action cheese or whatever.
Yeah, we spent most of our time just, yeah.
Low income cheese, is that what it is? All right.
Okay, this what? Last review. I swear Craft? To God, these are the two people and where they're from. Frederick and Mary Ann Broussat of Spirituality and Practice. I'm guessing this is like a couple that writes for this publication.
Spirituality and Practice.
Yes.
In practice?
And practice.
Okay.
This is what I got from Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
One has to question the excessive carnage of the finale and its celebration of the eye for an eye ethic. That's it. That's the whole bad review.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't find much after
that. You know, that kind of says something, too. I mean, that means people don't watch this movie.
I guess. But for a good reason.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes. This is a part of the show where I make the guys guess the score on Rotten Tomatoes, way the scoring system works.
My real question
is, if you're a new listener, it's 0 to 60 is rotten, 61 to 85 is fresh, 86 and above is certified fresh. Would you like to guess what the critics, the tomato meter, or the audience thinks of this first?
Let's do audience.
Okay.
My guess is that Adam is going to go in the single digits for his guess.
Yeah, for my personal rating?
Yeah.
It would be like a 5.
Okay.
Okay.
If I was rating this, it would be a 5. Only because there was some things happening at one point. And because Chuck Norris was with his beard, that's worth 5 points, and that's it.
Okay. So do
you really like that beard, don't you?
It just looks better than the mustache by itself. It looks weird. It looks weird with a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense.
So tomato meter or audience first?
Let's do audience first.
Okay.
What do you rate this personally?
Probably like a 30.
Okay.
Okay.
That's insane. All right.
No, because the thing about it is it did create some sort of story for the first half of the movie. I actually was interested, but then it never progressed. The amount of movie it had and the amount of time I would be willing to spend is about half that amount of time. So instead of a 60, I would have given a 30.
That's I was saying, if this was a 20-minute episode of G.I. Joe or something, then fine. Then I'm sure it would be great.
It'd be even cooler if they had a PSA afterwards too.
The PSA?
Yeah.
Oh God.
You ever watched G.I. Joe?
I don't think so.
They used to do the PSAs where,
Is that why?
It's like a kid who finds drugs in a bathroom and another kid comes in like, ooh, let's smoke it, Timmy. And they're like, no, we shouldn't. And then one of the G.I. Joe cast members come in. You're right. You should listen to this kid. Hi, give me a G.I. Joe name. Roadblock from G.I. Joe. And I'm here to tell you kids you shouldn't drink or smoke or whatever. Do drugs. And they'll be like, yeah. Now, then the kids would say, now we know. And knowing's half the battle.
G.I. Joe. That I have heard. Okay. I have heard that.
Have you seen like the false PSAs too?
No.
There's these kids. They're going.
He said hesitantly.
Right. There's these kids. They're actually going on this riding on the street with bikes or something like that. Right. And then there's a fallen electrical line on the street. They're like, let's skip over it. And all of a sudden, the jeep pulls up, and this guy's like, who wants a body massage? And they're like, what?
What?
Exactly. And he says, body massage machine, go. And he pulls. That's the point. He's actually taking some sort of a stick and moving the electrical line. And it's like, gee, thanks, Mister. Body massage. That's about it. The whole thing.
Oh my God.
I know, it's so crazy.
I can't unhear that.
I know. You gotta see it.
I'm so confused.
No,
one more time.
Audience.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Take a guess on the audience.
I would hope for like a 22% from the audience.
Really? Audience, okay.
Yeah, not me. Like I said, 5.
All right. I said 30.
For the audience?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the same as your personal?
I am not giving it anything okay. more than that, yeah.
So 30%. It's 50%.
Oh, these are all idiots.
I'm so angry.
The critics, the tomato meters, what would you guess their score is?
I guess I'll have to go 35. I still want it to be low. Hopefully they're smarter than the audience.
Hopefully smarter?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go for 45%.
20%.
Oh, yes. I had to switch.
Me too.
Or something.
Yeah, we both had to switch, actually.
Oh, God.
Trivia. I found trivia on this. I read just comment kind of basic trivia okay. or, you know, things I found on this. I'm Even afraid. Though I didn't watch, I still did research on it. The movie was originally to be produced with the cooperation of Delta Force real life founder and original commanding officer, Colonel Charles Beckwith.
There's a real Delta Force?
I'm guessing
I'd
so.
I'd be so pissed. Yeah. I would be so pissed. If I was on Delta Force, I would be so pissed at this movie.
Unless, of course, it was his idea to write like this.
The producers wanted to tell the story of Operation Eagle Claw, the failed attempt to rescue the American hostages from Iran in 1979, but they wanted to change the story so that Delta Force completed their mission successfully. Colonel Beckwith left the project in disgust.
Wow.
Early promotional releases from Canon revealed that the role of Colonel Alexander was originally intended for Charles Bronson.
Oh.
I guess that's Lee Marvin's character because he's like the older...
Crazy eyebrows.
Guy, yeah.
His eyebrows are like, they need to be weed whacked.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they're going to choke somebody.
Didn't we talk about that earlier?
No.
About like actually shaving those eyebrows off?
No. That was
eyebrows?
Big note.
That sounds like Charles Foster. Forster, okay. The guy from Jackie Brown? Robert Forster?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know anything about any of this.
Anyway, this was Lee Marvin's last film before he died. Lee Marvin is a kind of a big deal. He was almost like a character actor back in the 40s, 50s.
Name sounds familiar.
He was in The Dirty Dozen, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, a really good Western, other big movies from that era, The Killers. He was in some Twilight Zone episodes. He's been in a lot.
All right.
This was his last movie before he died. And this was based on the real-life hijacking of TWA Flight 847 on June 14th, 1985.
Oh.
That's it.
Okay.
That's all the trivia I found.
Very good.
There is stats, though.
Oh, God.
We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films that were released that year so we can get a feel of how well financially it held up to its peers. I could not find a production budget anywhere for this. On all the sites I used, there was no production budget. Do you want to take a guess how much money this movie made?
How much it made?
$200.
$200? Oh, there's $30,000.
$17.7 million.
Whoa!
So technically we're like...
Oh, because I was doing some inflation thing with it in 1986. Maybe that was more. Wow.
Yeah. And I think that's its worldwide combined gross. I think that's domestic and international.
Okay. I can't imagine this did better overseas.
Especially in Beirut.
Yeah. Oh. Probably not so much.
This debuted in third place on February 14th, 1986 with $5.9 million.
Oh, my.
Down and Out in Beverly Hills was in first place that week with $7 million.
Okay.
This was the 50th highest grossing film of 1986 in the United States.
How many movies were there? 50?
No. The top five that year were Top Gun with $176 million.
There's a movie.
Wait, are you telling me that Top Gun was in the same year as that movie Delta Force?
Yeah, 1986.
What happened?
That's a good movie versus a bad movie. You see.
Crocodile Dundee, $174.8 million. Number three, Platoon, Oscar winning best picture that year.
Below... Top Gun?
Yes.
Interesting.
For most money? Yeah. $138 million. The Karate Kid Part 2? $115 million. And Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home? $109.7 million.
Okay.
Are you noticing something that when it's a current movie, it's like 450, like The Avengers, $450 million.
Yeah.
And then the highest grossing movie in 1986 was $176 million?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it was.
Times have changed.
Yeah. It was a long time ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. Not that we're that old.
I got good news for you guys. You can stream this on Amazon.
Woo! If you want to do that for some reason, make sure you go to our website first. Click on the banner on the side of our page. It gives us a little bonus for you doing that. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but helps out the show. If you wanted to do that.
And it's also available on Amazon.
Okay, yes, same thing. Go to our page if you feel like it. Watch something else. Just go to our page and watch something else for streaming. Don't watch this.
Or, yeah, watch They Live. And see a better movie, but not by much.
I'd sooner suggest that for somebody to watch than this one. Oh, God.
So Chuck Norris is dead in your eyes?
He needs some sort of miracle resurrection.
I don't think that's possible. The movie, his other movies are essentially this. Missing
was,
in
was
action.
He was in Expendables, wasn't he?
Yes.
The part two. One.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But it, as a very small role.
Yeah.
Almost like
again,
a cameo.
Not impressing me.
Yes.
Still. Oh, man. I preferred it better when I, because I saw him in Sidekicks.
Yeah.
Which was a karate type movie with, he was like, he played himself.
He was a figment of a boy's imagination.
Was that right?
Through most of it. Because remember, the kid was daydreaming?
Uh-huh. Well, then he came, yes.
And then at the end in the karate tournament.
Right, he shows
he
up.
He shows up, he's like, I want to sign up for the tournament. Oh, okay, Mr. Norris, there you go.
Yeah. That was cool. Ridiculous. I liked him better knowing him only as that than I do now.
It's okay. It's all right.
I think I need to watch Sidekicks to cleanse my palate.
I think you should, because in that movie, it's a young boy who's obsessed with Chuck Norris, and he imagines him in different scenarios. Is that your story from when you were a kid,
Bruce,
with Bruce Willis?
Yeah, man.
Because there's a scene in there where he's sitting there and they're talking about the Vietnam War, and the kid daydreams, and it's the teacher, this Asian teacher who's held hostage in a POW camp.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So Joe Piscopo, the comedian who's like the bad guy in the movie, he's like, "Oh, we got you hostage. You can't do anything." And then the kid and Chuck Norris break in to save her.
Oh,
and then they wake him up in class, like, "Adam," or whatever the kid's name is. "Adam, can you solve question four?" Huh?
Yippee-ki-yay.
We should have done that.
Oh man.
For Chuck Norris.
It's too late.
Yeah, no. I'm not doing another Chuck Norris.
All right. All right.
Shall we get out of here?
Yeah. Safe for now, yeah.
All right. Very good. But you like this, Maestro?
Huh?
You like this?
Parts of it, yeah.
All right. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I guess that's it.
All right.
Until next time. This is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
I'm Adam. I'm doing 500. I'm out of control. But there's nowhere to go. And there's no way to slow. If I knew what I knew in the past, I would have been blacked out on your ass.